everybody, welcome to MacGyvecast episode, I have no idea.
We are episode 105 of 139 shows. This is Tough Boys, season 6, episode 1, from 17 September 1990.
So we're a new season starting up. We're still in 1990. Fuck, I feel like it should be 91 by now, but it's not. That's right.
So what are you doing in 1990?
This is before my 7th birthday, so I'd be 6 and a half-ish. I'd be like, I've almost turned 7, and I'm at the Seven Gables Apartments in Kirkland, Washington. I had just been run over by a car a year previously. I was watching, I think In Living Color was about to premiere, or just did. Whenever that premieres, I would watch that show on Sundays when it was still light out, and I would just kind of cry myself to
sleep.
Seems
like it was earlier than 90.
I think it was right around here is when it first premiered with the spray paint intro. And I remember sitting in my room in Seven Gables in my top floor, it was two stories, but apartment upstairs. And I look out my window, it would still be sunny outside. And I only had antenna TV. And I was just kind of, it was kind of staticky. And I remember just kind of crying myself to sleep as I was watching Living Color because there was nothing else to do.
Yeah, 1990 in Living Color.
Yeah, those would be my era. And I remember I recorded one episode and an episode of Married Children where Peggy and Kelly, was that his name? Kelly, I guess, had to do home ec. And it was, working in a coal mine, whoop, we'll get them let down. It was like them in the kitchen trying to make Jell-O. And it was this really gross episode where they're trying to cook and then like I think Al eats it all. And I watched it on the VHS probably 40 times. It's like the most, it's almost as gross as the episode of Get a Life with, what's that guy named Stewie? What the fuck's that alien's name?
Spewy.
The Spewy episode. It has that same like gross sheen to it where you're just like, ew. And their chicken they make looks like Spewy for some reason.
I have just started grade 12, so I'm getting ready to apply to colleges, universities, I guess.
Track down a maid in Palm Springs and see if you have a baby.
No, that was earlier. It would be a 1 year old by now.
Oh. I just think about this time. I had a prostitute who lived below me, or below me into the right. And this is the apartment complex where I got jump kicked in the face by the biker, who was the stepdad of those girls below me. And I remember that I wasn't allowed to hang out with a kid because his mom told my mom she was a prostitute and then got embarrassed. And then I knew, but I didn't say anything. But she probably thought I knew, so that I wasn't allowed to hang out with her son because she didn't want her son knowing she was a prostitute.
And I am definitely driving my Jeep by now. Probably had it earlier last year or early 1990, even though it's a 91, because I think it's a 90 model year, so I got it in 89, but I'm driving the Jeep that I still own.
I have one photo of myself from this year, and I have like dirt on my nose, and I'm wearing a Bruce Lee tank top, and I'm tying a shoelace around a G.I. Joe's neck.
Okay. So the summary is a gang of young vigilantes is destroying the city's crack houses. MacGyver suspects that an ex-Marine from the youth center is the person training the vigilantes.
And as the unmentioned youth center, is this the same one we're used to?
Yes, it's the same Challengers Center, although they don't show Cynthia, but they do mention her.
where she's with Dana Elkar. They had an affair, her and Pete are out in Barbados.
Yes, we have some new scenes put in the credits. We have Mexican Mac in a box in brown face.
Yep, it's a shinier credits. It definitely feels like, okay, they are at least polishing them a little bit. They're still a turd, but...
Well, they're still the same old cuts, and they've added the cable car drop from previous season.
Yeah, I feel like it. Somehow the video quality is better. I don't know what it is.
Now, a lot of them are still the same old shitty shots from the first season.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. This is kind of like when they did the stereo and they had the new yellow logo, it just somehow made the whole thing look better. Now it's stereo. So, ooh, everything's fancy, but it's not that much fancier. And as you've listened to the show, you've probably heard Tough Boys before. Laxty was in a funk. So I went ahead and captured it and put it at the end of one of our episodes. But now we're finally here. So we cheated and played the song early because it's such a magical piece of music.
Yes. And we've got such great lyrics like, listen up, chumps. Listen up, good.
Yeah. Okay, so the opening of this episode, it just literally opens with some ninja-like hands and gloves going up to like a barrel in an alley, putting a boombox on it with a sticker that says rap on it, so you know.
Yes, multiple stickers that say rap.
Yeah, but one, and
another
flag.
One that says Tough Boys.
Yeah, there's an American flag one that you've been pointing out, I didn't see. And they hit play on it, and then it zooms in on a Tough Boys logo, which is inside of the speaker grill or on top of the speaker grill.
Like one hooligan in front with his fist raised with a band of hooligans behind him, and then they fade into one of the ninjas holding his arm up.
Do you want to send over the new lyrics that are edited that have the correct lyrics in them?
Oh, we can do. I'll do that later.
I wanted you to recite them. I want to hear it.
Okay. Let me copy and paste.
It's going to be the highlight is having Laxdude say this on the podcast. And then if we had friends who actually listened to the show, they could then edit it and make it into a rap and have you rapping Tough Boys. Somebody could actually do this. Oh, God. All right, you recite them to me. I want to hear you do it.
Okay, so listen up, chumps. Listen up, good. We don't want no more poison messing up our neighborhood. Tough boys, they coming at you. Tough boys, tough boys. That is, pushers and users, you better jump back, because we're burning down everything related to crack. Tough boys, they coming at you. Tough boys, sell dope, you better hide. Crack dealers know 30 seconds to go. So you see, the timer's always 30 seconds they put down. 30 seconds to go, because the tough boys are coming, then everything blows. The boys are real. We mean what we say. If you ain't standing with us, then you stand in our way. Tough boys, they coming at you. Tough boys, you'd better move it. Silent like a dead man that moved through the night, strictly taking care of business so that everything's right. That's a wonderful line. Get with the program, supporting with your mind, and face the drug man telling him you ain't lying. That does not make sense.
Face the drug man and tell him you ain't lying. Please repeat that.
Okay, so supporting with your mind and face the drug man, tell him you ain't lying. Protect the children, lock your home, let your mind be free, leave the drugs alone. Tough boys, they coming at you. Tough boys, here comes one now. Sounds very, very gay.
Yeah, I really wish somebody would just take the beat somehow, and I don't know how you find an instrumental of that song. I guess you just make ninja wish whoosh sounds, you get those little Power Ranger
Well,
gloves.
Technically, if it's stereo, and they're playing the proper thing where it's faded to the center, you can put it through a filter and usually take out the lyrics. Now, that's if they mixed it right.
Oh, well, that'll be interesting to find out. I mean, it's above my skill level. Interesting.
No, it's something you could probably do on Audacity.
Yeah.
So just look up vocal removal.
I will. And I was talking about those Power Ranger gloves. I mean, those ones for kids that had the little button in the fingers. When you press them, they make little ninja sounds. You can just hold up to a mic and recreate this beat.
Yes. So while that was going on, we entered on a ghetto blaster with stickers on it, some saying rap, mm-hmm. and another saying tough boys. Mm-hmm. We have urban ninjas throwing Molotov cocktails, lots of climbing fences, bombing what look like summer homes, explosions, warehouses, and a countdown clock.
Yeah, and I feel like even some of the ninjas had, like, Asian dude eyes, and then, like, they're not even black guys underneath there.
Yeah, and I know that drug houses are always in the middle of industrial warehouses, because that's where the crack users are.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so we've got a big solvent bomb, a big gallon solvent bomb is placed down in front of a graffitied door, which is banged on. The ninja runs away. No one can be seen when the guy inside opens up the little door slider, because why wouldn't it have that? But he opens up the door anyways. He's wearing a very snazzy suit and hat, and then looks down and sees a bomb counter with 20 seconds on it and runs. Fuck the people inside. You're on your own.
Oh, man, there's that shot, too, of they go back to the boombox and you see the flames reflected in the boombox. It's actually a really good shot.
Well, first we have to cut to all the stock footage they have of explosions yeah. that they've used in the past.
Yeah.
An elevator exploding, one of the exploding of the lockup in Vietnam where they were introduced to the Colton Sun.
Yeah.
One is even in full daylight, knocked down just a little, of a hangar exploding.
Yeah, there was a hangar. It's weird.
Yes. The ninjas all celebrate with some yeehaws, because that's what urban youths would say, yeehaw.
Yeah, my favorite one is the part we see the guy buying drugs through the door, and they just put a bomb outside his house.
Yes.
It's
and
just
one
a bomb.
Of the ones, one of the ones that they're blowing up is clearly like a, it's, like a summer, a craftsman's summer house, which is just weird.
Yeah, it's, and the white crack, the white devil, he's the one that brings all the crack in.
Yes, and then the ninja with the stereotypical Hispanic accent sees a dealer down there and wants to go help them, but the big bomb goes off, eh? Yes, and this just proves that black and brown can get together
to kill whitey.
Well, they're killing a lot of brown.
Yeah,
I guess.
I guess. The criminal they show is like this weird zoot suit guy.
Yes. So we cut to the Challenger Club with the shitty truck pulling in and the former communist revolutionary now playing a detective trying to get a sign raised to the level. He helps out when he isn't on duty. He's just back from Nebraska where he had bought a farm.
And we learned that Richard Roundtree is in this episode. The Tough Boys rap was by who?
G Love E or G Love?
So is the same guys from G Love and Special Sauce?
Yes.
Oh my God, are you serious?
No, that's the G Love, I think.
Wow. All right.
Yes. So we apparently enrollment has tripled. The Self-Esteem Life Force, so SELF, a program by Rutherford Hines, is doing wonders. They need this Phoenix grant, and it sounds like a really stupid alien life support, alien that eats self-esteem.
And also, it's kind of, isn't it kind of like insider trading a little bit? It's like, yeah, Gabby, you got to make sure we get this grant.
Mac asks about Joan, his wife. Turns out they're divorced, and she went into therapy.
Her pussy stinks, MacGyver.
Yes, and R.T. Hines is yelling at kids like a drill sergeant. He's wearing a USMC red sweatshirt. The kids are all dressed like karate.
What do you call MacGyver's mullet this year? Is it a helmet mullet or what?
I'm not sure.
It's like a four-stage dyke. And like, he has this really weird thing above his ears where it's like cut too high and he has no sideburns.
Ed Hines is played by none other than Shaft.
Yeah, Richard Roundtree.
Yes. So from now on, he will be called Shaft.
All right.
Some have left gangs, the others have left drugs. Even Coco Hubbard, the guy who Mac recognizes as the former leader of the Rolling Thunder gang. Because why wouldn't he know that?
Well, the continuity that's always bothered me, because they had that one guy back who was the guy that was selling cracked Cuba Gooding Jr. out of the trunk of his car, but then they never had Cuba back. They had him in a different role, but then that guy showed up again, but they never mentioned, hey, weren't you the head drug dealer before?
And why is the gang named after a Vietnamese air bombing campaign? Yeah. I believe Rolling Thunder was one of the first ones when they rolled in the B-52s for carpet bombing.
I want you to join my karate class, the Tet Offensive.
Yes. And apparently, Shaft is the magical Negro.
I think a lot of women probably could have told you that. Shaft!
Yeah, so Latin stereotype comes in with Tough Boys playing on his ghetto blaster. Angel has been drinking. He's told to get out. He says, is 30 seconds enough? And tries to swing on Shaft, who kung fus him into a bucket of water.
And also, he's like, MacGyver's like, isn't that the theme song of those arsonists?
And there's some really bad blocking because old man Shaft is moving like a grandpa.
Yeah, talk about bad knees.
Yes.
Bad
knee.
Wait till I get done with you.
Mac objects to the nature of the lesson. Angel doesn't want to be nobody's soldier and then leaves in a huff. And hey, they have an Asian girl in the program. Isn't that cute?
Yeah,
is she a drug user as well?
She's the Yellow Ranger.
So Shaft is angry with MacGyver and wants to talk to him outside. They get outside, and I think they ask some real, possibly troubled kids who were there with shooting on a cameo to get out of the way because they all are kind of fat and ugly, and one has purple hair.
Yeah.
Shaft wants the money, but no one is to undercut his authority. He calls Mac a tourist.
Actor. That rich character actor is back. Has he been on the show before in the boat?
Oh, yeah. He's been on a couple times. He's a local Canadian actor.
He always plays like a prick white guy.
Yes. So Mac is called a tourist. Pussy Mac thinks it was a bit excessive and bordering on abuse what he did. Hines has no time to educate the educated and goes off to find Manny.
A tourist is a pretty harsh line.
Yes. Now we cut to the drug kingpin angry on his yacht. He wants the Tough Boys dead.
Why am I not rich enough?
Yes. The Tough Boys are two black guys. One who, based on his hand gestures, is either deaf or blind. He has a high top fade.
He's doing that. He's just moving them. He's just rapping along the beat when MacGyver enters the room.
Yes. Coco, a short, squirrely white guy, and they say that Manny is losing it. So, okay, Cholo Blanca.
Yeah, Blood and Blood Out is wearing his shirt, of course, buttoned, the top two buttons, but nothing else, which is just the ultimate.
Yeah, and he's often seen sporting a stupid hat.
That's like
Reverend Run style.
Well, what'd you call that? It's yellow face is offensive, and it's not even accurate. Is it like churro face?
Brown face.
Okay. Brown face is close to black face, because you'd be doing black guy.
No, black face is black people, brown face is
what's
brown
that rice-based drink? Horchata face.
Okay, or just call him Cholo Blanco.
I like that, too. Or Blood and Blood.
So we cut to Manny jumping over a wall in the ghetto, who is then grabbed by the three other Tough Boys. And this is where Coco is now wearing a stupid hat as well. They made a pact to take back the hood from the drug freaks. Manny doesn't want no more killings. Coco promises no dying, brother to brother. And this is when I realized that Cholo Blanco is supposed to be Mexican.
And who is Coco, this guy with the hat? Is he an actor we know from somewhere?
No, kind of a local Canadian actor, I think.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so they all go off to haul in bigger fish, the rich boys who funnel the poison into the neighborhood.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yes, in the latest Tough Boys burn down, Mac and Manny are talking. He's trying to tell him that Hines has something to do with turning the kids into Tough Boys. Mac has to check him out before he gets the grant.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Karate Kid, even though nobody was on to Kreese. It's like, what's Kreese doing with these kids, teaching them kill shots and shit?
Yeah, and the word on the street is that the drug boss has put out a reward, more of a bounty, on the tough boys.
That also makes sense.
And Whitey also thinks that Hines might be involved.
And then Mac makes another tour stop.
Well, we get Angel sporting a shiner, and Mac wants to talk to him about the tough boys until Shaft puts an end to it and confronts Mac about the looking into him. Shaft says that Mac probably thinks he gave Mandy the shiner, but Mac goes all science on him and says, no, it's on the wrong side of his face for a southpaw. Secondly, any punch from you, even if you'd pulled it, would have been more serious than that. So Mac's angling for a blowjob from Shaft.
Come on, man. You know you got the toughest hands in the world. We used to call you Johnny Concrete.
Yes. So Coco and the tough boys now think that Mac is a threat, but Angel isn't so sure.
Yeah, so Angel's now, the weak link in this chain, man.
One of the stupidest scenes.
The outfit he's wearing with the hiked up shorts and the white socks?
No, I mean, so we cut to ninja mode. During the day, one of them parkours across the back of Mac's shitty truck to draw him into a building.
A pre-parkour. Lots of rolls. It's a really funny fucking scene.
So, of course, Mac stops, parks the shitty truck, and goes into the abandoned warehouse.
Yeah, he falls for it.
Yes. And then as soon, takes Mac 5 minutes to get in. As soon as he gets in, the ninja starts scurrying around again. So he was just patiently waiting for him to come in. He runs down to draw him to the other ninjas. They want to get all ninja on Mac. While Tough Boy starts being played from a ghetto blaster. So Mac decides to pick the padlock with the sewing awl in his knife, which is not how you pick a lock, and then enters a lockup where all of a sudden four ninjas step down in front of him and he falls through a trapdoor into a cargo net, dropping his knife in the process. They bring out a broken chair, put it in front of him, and it has a 30-second countdown timer on it. And notice that it's now a digital counter.
Well, they've upgraded. But also it's really cruel. This guy's just trying to help.
Yes. So they knew he would go through the locked door, not through the window or the office door. So obviously they are magical ninjas, ninja vigilantes. And then, I think they had Shaft dressed as a ninja here. And it turns out it's actually a 3-minute countdown. So Mac swings the net trying to get and grab the bomb, but that isn't going to work.
Motherfucker, you know I'm bad with decimal points.
Yes. So then he starts going sideways. He grabs an electrical cord and some copper condenser tubing.
What'd you call the white gang? Blanco what?
Cholo Blanco.
Cholo Blanco.
Yes.
I got a good photo of him doing the armpit hand tuck while he's trying to do a b-boy stance.
Yeah. He pulls that out straight, has about a minute to go, and they never showed him actually grabbing the electrical wire. They only showed him grabbing the copper tubing, but he has both at the end.
Yeah, he pulls out both wires. He's like, see, check this out.
So he lassos the bomb and brings and the bomb chair and pulls it closer so you can hook the bomb with the the copper.
It's one of the funniest fucking scenes in the series history when his face is through that net and he looks like an asshole.
And with 6 seconds to go, Mac can't defuse it, and he's going to die. Nope, just a tone. So they only wanted to freak him out.
I like that our show helps expose how terrible the show is to the world.
And everything, we cut to later when it's revealed that everything on the bomb was real, except for the detonator cap. Well, that's a waste of dynamite and ether.
Oh, that's like that episode of Leftovers. Have you watched that show?
Yes, I have.
The current season. Yeah, Liv Tyler, spoiler alert, 1, 2, 3. She goes on a school bus, pulls the driver out, and then throws a grenade in there and then closes the doors, but it's not a live grenade.
Yes. So Manny, the revolutionary cops, thinks he should just leave it to the police. Mac thinks that this was advanced military training. The net was strictly force recon, and they don't make a manual for that. And I say, really? The Army has a manual on how to torture.
Yeah, like,
which is illegal. I'm pretty sure they have a manual on how to string up a fucking snare net.
Yeah, Boy Scout manuals do. And they also have things in the back to enter in the size of your growing body for some reason.
So Mac figures he needs to have to Captain Shaft.
Why is that in the back of Boy Scout handbooks, Lax Dude?
I don't remember there being anything
dude.
I was a Boy Scout Canada.
Measure every part of your body except dick. Literally everything. You're growing hips. Stuff like only old dude pedophiles would be into. Like, who gives a shit about some kid's thighs? But they want to know. And it's like, it's in there for you to show and like share and tell your scout leader.
So the shitty truck pulls up to a house. Yes. Because I didn't have that in my scout manuals.
I went 3 times. It creeped me the fuck out, man.
The shitty truck goes to a house. The door, front door is open.
I love that it's just American, the shitty truck forever.
Has an American flag flying. Mac lets himself in just to look around and touch shit.
That looks like a black guy house from the outside.
And then Hines puts a 45 to his head, and Mac now has to scrape out his drawers.
What you doing, cracker?
Yes. Shaft says he's never used kids to fight his battles. He fights hard, but doesn't break the law.
My body's breaking down, and Mac. I need somebody
He left
young.
The door open to test MacGyver. So he's a snoopy, touchy shit. And you know, this is where I'll say, this might have been a good time for Mac to remember, shit, I was Army EOD in NAM,
yeah.
And then joined the Air Force. Maybe I should tell this jarhead that.
Yeah.
But nope. Instead, he let Shaft tell him he's a soft, liberal faggot pussy, and who calls him a tourist again.
You ain't never been in the shit. Actually, I was in the shit. I was in the shit with you.
And Mac tells him that he chose the locked door. He didn't go through the office door. He didn't go through the window. So this means that, hey, it must be someone who knew him well.
This really was end of the era of Vietnam being able to be part of what made you a badass. Like, this is the end of, like, 1990s, the last time you could have the Punisher take place and still be of a normal age and have gone to Vietnam and be able to do what he does in the street.
Yes. So, okay, that's now means that Manny is the leader of the tough boys, not Shaft. And yep. then it's revealed with him walking out and giving them directions.
Yeah, it's really creepy.
Yeah, Angel is still all pissy and needs to change his tampon. Shaft now reveals that Manny was a Marine, too. He also has a family devastated by drugs. He couldn't even save his daughter.
That's like Breaking Bad.
Yes, so Manny is telling the tough boys where to plant the charges. He'll be on the yacht taking out the biggest crack dealer in the country, but doesn't say he'll meet them up later. So they get, and then they do a weird five-way fist.
Yeah,
yes,
it's so fucking weird. Each other. It's this weird Captain Planet moment.
Yes, and you get the indication that maybe Manny won't be there at the end.
Hey guys, after we're done tonight, circle jerk.
Yes, and then all of a sudden, Mac is at Manny's house with Shaft. They say they know it's him, and he pulls his service revolver on them. Mac tells him not to do it this way, to do it through the law. But, as he says, crack doesn't care about the law.
That's kind of true. It's a narcotic. I don't know if it can have feelings or concerns.
It's not a narcotic. It's a stimulant.
Really?
It's subject to the Narcotics Act, but it's not a narcotic.
Ah, so narcotic technically means
sedative.
A sedative and stimulant. Okay.
Usually opium.
All right, so it's a powdered drug that's refined into a paste and then a rock thing you smoke. I don't think it actually has feelings and concerns about who uses it or what cops think.
Yes, and he asks, has Mac ever seen a crack baby? Well, his granddaughter is like that. He's doing what has to be done. So Mac and Shaft get locked in the rape garage.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's really easy to open from the inside? Garage doors. What did they try to open? Not the garage door.
The house door with a latch using a weird paper clip grappling hook.
Yes. So it's got a big crossbar put down over it, mm-hmm. so they can't get through it. Mac goes for paint cans and the, quote, sensitive approach, according to Shaft. He gets a pull cord from a lawnmower. And Mac needs something sharpened, which is never revealed what, and then goes to the interior door with a pry bar so he can get a grapple hook down and lift up the crossbar, because what door doesn't have a half-inch gap on the top of it?
Yeah, it's really horrible.
Yes, and then it turns out that the White Kingpin has set up a trap. They'll be boxed in by Uzi fire.
That's a good plan.
Except you can't box someone in with only two gunmen. And a poorly defensible position at that.
Yeah, an Uzi feels like the wrong gun for boxing in.
Yes. So cue the Tough Boys instrumental. What happens.
Is it really the instrumental?
Yes.
Huh.
More or less. One runs across a roof. The other rappels down a silo.
Needlessly elaborate.
Another one comes up from the sewer, and one just runs out of a building.
Needlessly. The guy's rappelling. Come on.
Yes. In the middle of the day, wearing all black.
Yeah, he stands up more rappelling. It'd be like, hey, dude, just come in as like a security worker.
Yes, and then I think two of them get shot, and they're hardly boxed in, because, like I said, they need more than two gunmen to do that. They run into a building. Now it's time for Mac and Shaft to get it in gear. Shaft goes in. Mac runs toward a gunman. Shaft then draws attention from behind when Mac Tarzans into him and knocks him into the water.
That's pretty good.
Shaft now has an Uzi. Mac doesn't realize. Mac stops Shaft from shooting the Uzi. He slams it and turns it into a hydrant wrench. Yes, this is not the first time he's used a gun as a wrench. as you'll remember.
When was last? Oh yeah, you put that's right.
The nuclear plant that's really a waste reclamation plant with somewhere Robert in Pasadena. England. Yes,
Crocodile Rock.
Yes. So he
he has to decide if he's going to leave her this leather jacket. Yeah.
So he feeds a hose through a ladder, and if you notice, the fire hose is dangling rather limply from the top, and then all of a sudden, in the next cut, it's perfectly anchored and aimed.
Hey man,
at the top of the
Canadian
ladder.
Pot's really strong. Don't give me shit about it.
Yes, Max signals for the water, and then he's now able to use the hose to knock down the support of the little platform that the guy's standing on the roof, and the gunman falls off and probably paralyzes himself. Yes, so Ninja Angel comes out, and like the bitch he is, he's been crying. Coco is dead. Cholo Blanco is crying as well. Flat Top says he was taking out a big drug dealer. Or no, Flat Top says that Manny is taking out the big drug dealer with all the media and that he might be suicidal.
Oh.
So we cut to a dock and a boat that's wired with explosives. Manny is going to blow up the cocaine boat with the kingpin, the CEO of the $100 billion industry, paying people to look the other way. I think he should have a bigger yacht if he's making that much money.
Yeah, it seems a little, it's not that special.
So blah, 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 shut the fuck up, Manny. Shaft and Mac show up with the shitty truck. He basically reads the suicide last letter from his daughter, who was ruined by the kingpin's poison.
Dad, I'm going to kill myself because I can't buy more crack. If you would give me money, yes. I should buy more crack and I'd still be alive.
Mac climbs up onto the boat and Shaft comes along. And I got to tell you, that much dynamite that close to those spectators and media, it would kill them all. He tells Manny that Coco is dead and that what good will it be if he's dead too?
Shaft reminds him that positive. Look at all this cocaine you have. We can have an awesome boat party.
On a boat.
Yeah.
Shaft reminds him that he has a granddaughter to take care of, and then he gives Mac the hand trigger. And then all of a sudden, there are 10 police on the gangway on the dock, and they run up.
Yeah.
So magic cut there. Shaft will see Manny through this.
I'll get him through MacGyver. You can go be a tour somewhere else now.
So we cut back to the Challenger Club with Shaft being all drill sergeant-y while Mac mocks him while fixing his shitty homemade gym. So some continuity there.
Homemade gym. I forgot about that piece of shit. That weird jalopy.
Then lets MacGyver take over, and Mac starts him off with some nice, easy stretching, and then we freeze frame on Mac's ridiculous pedophile grin.
Why do they have like that kind of continuity and nothing else? It's so fucking weird.
Like, forgetting that he was in Vietnam.
Yeah, or, like, half the people at the Challengers Club who probably need jobs and could just be like, oh, yeah, I'm a guy from the last episode. I don't act anywhere else, so why don't I just do this?
But no comment on the pedophile grin at the end?
Oh, it's a pedophile grin. It's the most pedophile. You're going to see the picture of it. I'm trying to screen cap it right now. How dare you?
It is very scary.
It's one of the best things ever.
Yeah.
And they really chose that. This is the premiere of season 6. Like, this is what
tough boys coming at you. Tough boys. Tough boys.
That grin. He's teaching a karate kid. He's teaching him how to stretch and do yoga. And he just, oh my God. Pedal Mac, another one.
And it really kind of looks like he has his wrists tied together and he's being hung off a meat hook.
And somebody's blowing him, yeah. Like Jim Carrey in the first Ace Ventura. When I saw it with my dad, I didn't understand what's going on. Why is he spinning around the room, Dad? I didn't ask.
So, not a good episode. But tough boys, tough boys.
They came at us.
Yes, they came at us hard.
Yeah.
And fisted us.
Yeah.
Five-way fisting.
Gringo Blanco Fandango.
Cholo Blanco, say it properly.
Cholo Blanco, all over my chin and chest.
Yes, and High Top Fade and Coco.
Oh, I miss Coco. What a poor guy.
Yes. So, not a good episode, not a good start. But at least they're still in Vancouver. It's like a 22-episode one.
Ah, fuck, no strike. And then they do like 14, right?
Usually it's 13. But no, it's 14 because there's the Black Door pilot that they finally air.
Yeah, that's from season 5. No, I think they aired in 6. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Who cares anymore? Let's just kill ourselves.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.